Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the Fino Payments Bank Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Rashi Khatri from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Khatri.
Thank you, Swapnali. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 and 9M FY26 earnings call of Fino Payments Bank. We have on call Mr. Rishi Gupta, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ketan Mhatre, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Anup Agarwal, Head of Finance and Investor Relations. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. May I now request the management to take us through the financials and the business outlook, subsequent to which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Rashi. A warm welcome to all of you joining us today for our Quarter 3 FY26 earnings call. I would like to begin by highlighting the most significant development till date. During the period, your bank received in-principle approval from the Reserve Bank of India to transition into a small finance bank, making Fino the first and the only payments bank to reach this milestone. This approval marks an important step in our journey and validates the work we have done over the last few years in building a compliant, scalable, and resilient banking platform. On behalf of the entire management team, I would like to thank the RBI, our board, our employees, especially our shareholders, for their continued support and confidence in Fino. This development is a key inflection point as we position the franchise for its next phase of growth, allowing us to deepen customer relationships and expand our role in advancing financial inclusion in a reasonable, responsible, and sustainable manner. With SFB license, we add multiple revenue streams to our existing business model. Over the first 9 months of FY26, our focus has been very deliberate and consistent around quality over quantity. Whether it is merchant, public partner onboarding, deposit growth, or client acquisition, we have consciously chosen to prioritize sustainability and scalability over short-term volume-led growth. This approach becomes especially critical as we enter the SFB transition because the foundation we build today will define the quality of balance sheet, returns, and risk profile over the coming years. As we move closer to the SFB phase, your biggest bank strength is that we enter this journey with a strong CASA-based liability of over 2,500 crores. Add to this deposits with other banks of about 500 crores means that we are sitting on nearly 3,000 crores of low-cost deposits. CASA for us is not merely a funding source. It is a strategic move. It provides us with a structurally low and scalable cost of funds, which has remained under 2% for over the 9-month period. This gives us a strong structural advantage that allows us to design the lending business very differently from many other SFBs. This low cost of funds will enable us to maintain NIM of around 10% on a largely secured portfolio. This will be driven by products such as loans to MSME, affordable home loans, LAP, micro LAPs, and select gold loans. We will remain disciplined on loan-to-value ratios, customer selection, and ticket sizes. This calibrated approach is deliberate and is aimed at ensuring predictable credit costs, which we believe can be maintained sub 1% over a cycle as the loan book scales. From a medium-term perspective, as we transition into an SFB, our aspiration is to scale the business meaningfully while continuing to maintain discipline. Our loan book aspiration is in the range of 8,000 crore-10,000 crore by FY30, and this growth will be phased and prudent. We expect the credit deposit ratio to be around 75% in the initial 3-4 years. Over the medium term, our aspiration is to build towards a 20% plus ROE, driven by a low cost of funds, disciplined credit cost, and operating leverage. Another important differentiator in our SFB journey is our merchant-led ecosystem. Today, we engage with over 20 lakh merchants, which gives us a deep on-ground footprint and a strong base to thoughtfully extend our credit offering and drive our sourcing over time. This model allows us to operate with lower cost, lower acquisition cost, better customer insight, and stronger engagement and collections. And we believe it will continue to remain a key structural advantage as our business scales. In summary, our key differentiator will be merchant-led asset-light sourcing model that is non-brink and mortar and limited branches and asset centers to complement our existing distribution network. We are not expecting to spend more than 15 crores on physical infrastructure on an annual basis. On the execution front, we have crossed a critical milestone on the technology side by going live on Holodo core projects and migration of our core banking system to Finacle. While some stabilization is natural in any large migration, the heavy lifting is behind us. This provides us with a flexible and scalable technology backbone that allows us to launch products quickly, customize offerings, and scale without proportionate increase in cost. Apart from the technology, we need to hire talent for the critical verticals, which also resonates our DNA and continue to be differentiated. With this, the heavy lifting on the technology cost is over, and we expect to build the digital technology stack for SFB with about 100 crores over the next 1 year. As we build the SFB, we are equally and pushing more on our current business. We expect the current business along with growth to contribute to about 75% of the overall revenue by FY30. Over the first 9 months of FY26, we have continued to strengthen the quality of our customer base, with CASA being the cornerstone of our strategy and the primary growth engine. During Q3 FY26, average deposits grew 32% on a year-on-year basis to 2,496 crore, reflecting continued customer trust and deeper engagement. We added over 8.7 lakh accounts in this quarter, taking the total number of accounts to 1.68 crores. More importantly, the focus has shifted from pure accounts acquisition to balance quality, with the average CASA balance improving by around 9% year-on-year to 1,314 crore. Digitally active customers grew 22% year-on-year to nearly 60 lakh customers, while renewal income grew 19% year-on-year to 57 crores, reinforcing stickiness and annuity potential. Digital engagement has continued to strengthen in this financial year. Digital throughput now accounts for approximately 56% of the throughput, with digital transaction count growing 17% year-on-year to more than 89 crores in Q3 FY26. In digital payment business, enhanced regulatory scrutiny across the ecosystem continued to impact throughput in this quarter as well. However, we are seeing early tailwinds in this business. Accordingly, we are also expanding our business reach through strategic tie-ups with payment aggregators and payment gateway partners, which we believe will support recovery-led growth as the environment normalizes. As on December 25, we had 347 active merchants in this segment compared to 175 in September 25. Coming to cash-led business, CMS segment continues to see moderation in revenue due to pricing competition and structural shifts. Despite the sectoral headwinds, we have seen a 3% quarter-on-quarter growth in the throughput. Traditional business comprising of remittance, AEPS, micro ATM saw a decline in revenue by 40% as the ecosystem moved towards digital channels. These products, though, continue to bring in footfall and remain a hook for our new potential CASA customers. To summarize, quarter FY26 and the first 9 months of the financial have been about discipline, consolidation and preparation. We are seeing the benefits of strategy reflected in stronger CASA, improving digital engagement, a healthier revenue mix, a resilient margins. As we move forward, our focus remains on building a differentiated, scalable and sustainable banking franchise that is well prepared for the SFB opportunity ahead. With this, I will now hand over to Ketan to take you through the financial performance in more detail.
Thank you, Rishi, and a good evening, everyone. I'll take you through the financial and operating highlights for third quarter and 9 months ended FY26. As Rishi has already outlined, the operating environment during Q3 continued to reflect a broader industry transition, particularly across transaction-led business and digital. Against this backdrop, our focus remained firmly on strengthening the core value drivers of franchise, including customer engagement, disciplined cost management, and readiness for the next phase of bank's evolution. From a financial perspective, This consolidation phase has been about preserving earnings quality, improving the efficiency of operating model, and ensuring the further incremental scale continues to translate into sustainable profitability. During Q3 FY26, total throughput stood at approximately 1.18 lakh crores, while the throughput for 9 months period reached 3.56 lakh crores, reflecting an 8% YOY growth. Within this, CASA and digital activity continued to show healthy momentum. During 9 month FY26, digital throughput increased by approximately 31% YOY, taking the digital share of total throughput to 55%, up materially from the prior year, which was 46%. Over a 9 month period, digital throughput reached 1,96,740 crores. Reinforcing the structural shift towards scalable and account-linked activity. This evolution is also reflected in the revenue mix. Higher margin business led by CASA and renewal-led income streams now contribute approximately 41% of total revenue, while the share of low margin volume-intensive transaction business has declined to around 18%. This improvement in mix has translated into meaningful expansion in margins. Importantly, these revenues are supported by recurring engagement, lower incremental servicing cost and operating leverage rather than pure transaction intensity, resulting in greater sustainability and visibility of cash flows even in a volatile transaction environment. At the same time, legacy transaction segments continue to moderate, broadly in line with industry trends. Overall, the transaction business declined by 12% quarter-on-quarter and 40% YOY for Q3 FY26, reflecting structural shift from cash-based transactions to UPI coupled with lower DBT inflows. CMS throughput remained under pressure due to pricing competition, take rate down to 0.16% as compared to 0.17% in Q2 FY26. Although volume increased sequentially by 3% to 18,850 crores. Turning to financial performance, Q3 FY26 revenue stood at 394.4 crores, reflecting a sequential decline of 1% and a YOY decline of 15%. Revenue for 9-month FY26 declined to 1,247.9 crores, representing 8% YOY decrease. Despite this, due to margin expansion, excluding one-offs, the profitability remained resilient. EBITDA for Q3 FY26 stood at 63.9 crores, with EBITDA margin improving to 16.2%. For 9-month period, EBITDA expanded to 187.1 crores, with a margin expansion of over 240 basis points on a YOY basis. At the PBT and PAT level, Q3 FY26 PBT stood at 17.5 crores, excluding one-off which was 3.1 crores, this was at 20.6 crores, while PAT was at 12.2 crores. For 9-month period, PBT stood at approximately 63.3 crores, including one-off, reflecting a 20% YOY decline. Operating expenses remain tightly controlled. OPEX for Q3 FY26 stood at 84 crores, while 9-month OPEX increased by only 2% on a YOY basis to 261.3 crores. The cost-to-income ratio for the quarter stood at 33.1%, reflecting a temporary revenue moderation, while underlying cost discipline remained intact. Now, going towards segment, very quickly, CASA revenues in Q3 FY26 are at 162.8 crores, reflecting a 17% YOY growth. For a 9-month period, CASA revenue increased to 476.3 crores, up by 22% YOY basis. Within this, CASA renewal income increased to 174.9 crores in 9-month FY26 from 133.9 crores in 9-month period FY25, reflecting a 31% YOY growth. While Q3 FY26 renewal stood at 57%, up by 19% on a YOY basis. Digital payment revenue for Q3 FY26 stood at 62.7 crores, reflecting a 43% YoY decline driven by regulatory tightening and moderation in certain categories. For a 9-month period, digital revenue was at 232.5 crores compared to 255.9 crores in 9-month FY25, representing a 9% YoY decline. Transaction-led segment continued to reflect the broader industry transition. CMS revenue in Q3 FY26 were 29.6 crores, declined by 27%, while 9-month revenue stood at 94.9 crores, reflecting a 22% YoY decline. MATM and AEPS revenue declined to 35.1 crores in Q3 FY26, a 25% YoY decline, while 9-month revenue stood at 117.4 crores, lowered by 14% on YoY basis. Remittance revenues moderated to 34.3 crores in Q3 FY26, reflecting a 50% YoY decline, and to 120.8 crores for a 9-month period, reflecting 57% YoY decline, consistent with the reduced reliance on cash DMT flows, as well as the ecosystem which we have mentioned in earlier calls. A key highlight of Q3 has been the continued improvement in revenue quality driven by the deliberate shift in mix. Low-margin transaction-led business now contribute around 18% of total revenue, while high-margin business primarily led by CASA contribute around 40%. This shift has driven a 5.4% or 540 basis points year-on-year increase in the net revenue margin. With this net revenue margin at 37.5% in Q3 as compared to 32.1% in Q3 last year. As a result, despite revenue moderation, profitability has remained resilient, with Q3 EBITDA at 63.9 crores, up 6% YoY, and EBITDA margins improving to 16.2% compared to 13% in the previous year. On a 9-month basis, EBITDA grew by 10% on a YoY basis to 187 crores, reflecting disciplined execution and a better mix. On SFB transition, as Rishi has already outlined, we continue to make steady progress across people, technology, governance and operating readiness. Our cost of funds of 4%, as reflected in slide 15 of our investor deck, would be our key differentiator in SFB operations and thereby driving profitability. With this, I now hand it over back to the moderator for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Anand Dama from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the license. Sir, my question was first related to our existing business where we are continuously seeing a downfall in our revenues because of the transaction banking business undergoing some stress. Our CML business also is down. So have we lost any bigger client over there because of the competition? If yes, if you can talk about which are the clients that we have lost. Is there any pipeline to acquire new customers over there? Secondly, my question is about the, in the presentation you've talked about that how you're going to transit into SFP by 2030. But then what's the starting point for that transition, whether we expect that to happen from FY28? By then we would be fully operational as an SFP. And if yes, how the run-up is going to happen. You also talked about some overnight digital float of about 500 crores. If you can just explain what is that digital float that you're talking about.
Thank you. Thank you, Anand. Let me just go first question first on the CMS. I'll just quote some numbers. Q3 revenue is 29.6 crores Q2 sequentially it was around 30.9 crores. So yes, it has indeed reduced on a sequential basis. However, as I mentioned in my commentary, it is more about the take rate. Volume and throughput during the same period, in fact, has increased marginally by around 500 crores. So CMS, we do not have any, whilst we have competition challenges, it is more about the take rates. We have not lost any kind of, revenue partner which is coming across. So trust that answers your CMS point. Your second one was regarding the SFB timelines, correct?
Yes, yes. And if you can just run us through like how the cost is going to be till FY28 when you basically start up, if you start from FY28.
Okay, thank you. Firstly, I think, So two aspects. Rishi mentioned it in his commentary as well. We have around 100 odd crores of incremental CapEx IT investment which would come through. In year one, we approximately have incremental 15 odd crores of infrastructure CapEx which will come through. So these are the two CapEx. We need to be cognizant that, a larger part of our business is not going to come through branches. And we've done some technology spends already. So these are the two aspects in terms of CapEx which will come through or in the coming year. When do we intend to operationalize it? As all of you guys are aware, it is a process. RBI has given us 18 months period to implement the same. We are working towards this and, somewhere we're looking at the last quarter of this financial year if everything works right in terms of preparation and working with RBI. Sorry, Anand, I did not write your third question.
Yeah, so no problem. So I think you said that this year, basically, or FY27, fourth quarter, is when you expect the final license to come back?
Yeah, the in principle license is come. Thereafter, it is a process that we have to make some preparations and then work along with RBI, and this is a time when we plan to operationalize it.
And so FY28 is when you would. So first quarter of FY28 is when you would want to start a full fledged SFP where you start lending business, right? Is that a
correct? Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And before that, you will have to offload your BC business as well, or like you can continue for a while, you can get an extension.
Yes. That is the plan.
Okay. Sure. And if you can just run us through how the FY28 would look like in terms of SFP business, in terms of operational cost or bulk of the CapEx related cost and depreciation or people onboarding would be largely done in FY27 itself. So FY28, we have more of lending business coming through and the operational cost comes down. If you can just take us through FY27 and FY28, how it should look like.
No, so Anand, what we've essentially done, if you go to our SFB specific slides, we have put how do we expect to grow our lending business and vis-a-vis liabilities as well, where do we intend to grow. How are we turning, and I've also mentioned out what kind of an preparation which we are doing. As at the current stage, we're not putting across an FY28 numbers, but that is something which we'll work through as well. However, our outline of our assets, liabilities, customer acquisition, and more importantly, the cost of funds, all have been articulated in the investor deck.
Sorry to interrupt, Anand. I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue again as there are participants waiting for their turn.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Majid Ahmed from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
I'm audible, sir.
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, you are entering the SFB space with 100% CASA funded balance sheet. Unlike most SFBs, had to build a CASA post-conversion. How does this structurally change your approach to loan pricing, risk appetite, and growth sequencing compared to traditional SSPs?
Thanks. It's a very fair question. We start off, and Rishi mentioned it as well, we start off with an opening balance of around 3,000 plus crores. And if you go to slide number 15, in terms of our current model itself, we are saying that we can have incremental 5,000 crores. So with this, our distinct stated and this and the our lean model, if you go to slide number 16, we made ourselves prepared, or we're preparing for a secured lending with the cost of funds advantage which we have. And I again draw back attention to slide 15, where we've said approximately FY30, we look at 13,300 crores of deposit at cost of funds of 3.9%, as you were alluding. And if you go to slide number 16, the kind of products which we are looking at is affordable housing, secured loans under MSME, LAP, micro LAP, gold loan. So that will constitute the major part of our lending portfolio. And that, along with this secured products, we can maintain our profitability largely because of maybe around 300 basis points advantage which we have vis-a-vis any other SFB on cost of funds. So that is our thought process in terms of leveraging our opening balance and going for a quality secured lending book.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, most SFB had to clean up asset quality while building CASA. So Fino is doing the reverse. Like, how does change the risk profile in the first 3 to 5 years, sir?
Can you come again with the question?
Sir, most SFB had to clean up asset quality while building CASA. So Fino is doing the reverse. How does this change the risk profile in the first 3 to 5 years?
So it's a very relevant question, and it goes to the broad the genesis of the SFB also. See, as Ketan mentioned, we are a liability first bank. So we are not carrying any, one is that our liability book is already there, roughly 3,000 crore compared to the SFBs who came 10 years back, didn't have any liability experience. We obviously don't have a lending experience. So for us, the asset quality or the treadmill on which they were running is not there. So that is where we have mentioned in my own remarks also that we'll build up a prudent book over a phased manner and more on the secured side. So that our target is to keep the credit cost around 1%. And that is what our focus is also. I hope that broadly answers your question, that because we are not having any opening assets, neither we are running on a treadmill where we are growing at a particular pace. We will grow it slowly, but our liability will be the driver for it.
Got it, sir. The final question from my side, sir. And what is the realistic timeline to meaningfully deploy capital into lending and start reflecting SSB level ROA and ROE? In reported numbers, and what ROA and ROE should we expect in the medium term, sir?
Hi, Majid. Some of this I've attempted to capture in slide 19. Typically, and I think Anand also asked this question, if we are looking at of operations starting last quarter FY27 or first quarter FY28. So that's where capital would be deployed. I also draw attention to our current net worth. We are adequately capitalized for first phase of growth. ROE, we are looking at in midterm, and that's what we put it as phase one on slide number 19. We're looking at a 20% plus ROE which can come through. The reason which we've earlier articulated about me and Rishi is the lean model and the cost of funds advantage which we carry across.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my
thank you,
Madhuri. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address all the questions in the conference call, we request you to kindly limit your questions to 2 per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue again. We have the next question from the line of Tanmay Javeri from Fininterest Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, I have a couple of questions. The first one being that what would be our medium-term guidance on the margin side? And the second question is around the cost. I mean, how should we look at the cost ratio now and in the coming quarters?
So I presume you are asking this question in the context of the next couple of quarters, you know, as a payment bank. Fair enough. Fair enough. Thank you. So, you know, as I mentioned in my earlier commentary, our margins are at historic high in terms of 37.5%. Now, that is happening due to the change in the product mix, and earlier we mentioned our transaction older low margin cash business is reducing, and now CASA contributes 41% of the margin. So from here on, we can expect margins to be largely range bound in terms of next couple of quarters. That also depends upon how our digital business, which has been a bit benign over last quarter or so, how that recovers, but largely we expect that to be range bound. Second question which we are coming across is in terms of costs. Yes, our cost will, you know, with some challenges over our, or some moderations over our transaction banking business, we've maintained a very high cost discipline in terms of last couple of quarters, which is reflected in YOY numbers as well as sequential numbers. We continue to do that in terms of our OPEX cost management. There might be some incremental depreciation which we are expecting as we have just completed our clinical project as well, and as we had mentioned it earlier. So other than that, I think the cost should, you know, be a trend line with operating efficiencies will continue.
Any ballpark numbers that we can assume or we can estimate?
No, as I said, we've not given an estimate for the next year, but I have given the drivers how it will all work across as well. Margins, I have mentioned it, range bound. Cost will be trading currently on the basis of the current trend line, plus the incremental depreciation which we may have.
Okay. And so just one last question, if there are items squeezing. If you can just give a breakup on how do we see a loan book shaping in terms of our product mix or sourcing channels and year-wise setup?
Yeah, I think, again, if I go back, we have put the products which we are going across in, as Rishi mentioned, we are a liability-first bank, which we want to, you know, put across there. We've had some more details coming across how much would be low-cost liabilities at 1.7%, which is more than 60% of our portfolio. In terms of products which we have identified, how do we build that product and what will be the percentage is something which we will, you know, which will evolve over next quarter or two. However, the point to emphasize which we are very clear is we are not going to go rampage. We are going to take a very phased and a cautious approach in building our affordable housing, secured loan, MSME, LAP, micro LAP, gold loan, and in certain cases personal.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you so much for wishing you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika Fin Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. First of all, congratulations on getting in principle approval for Small Finance Bank. Rishi, my question pertains to your digital. Should we see 62 crores as your base now and hopefully...
Bro, you need to be slightly louder, unfortunately.
Can you hear me now?
Now it is better.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations on getting the approval. It was hard for... my first question is pertaining to your digital revenue. When do we start seeing growth here? Because this year we have seen sharp degrowth. Can we now see, because your UPI contribution has also come down from the highs of 1.62% to now 1.41%, when do you see this stabilizing and growing?
So both of them are related in a way, because the digital payment business from a high of 11,000 crores per quarter to 4,500 crores per quarter has resulted in the degrowth of that UPI share also. See, let me just try to explain. You see, there is no challenge as far as the growth is concerned. we have the railroads, we have the partners, there are enough and more merchants which are there in the market, enough and more use cases are also building up on the UPI side. Last year, because of the real money gaming ban, there was some drop which happened on account of some merchants as such, but our volume was not very high. So, but more importantly, what is happening is that the increased scrutiny which we have to do from LEA point of view, the regulator point of view, is affecting the onboarding of merchants. One is that it slows down the onboarding. Secondly, the merchant themselves, the number of merchants which we can onboard also comes down, because we have to check now multiple things before we onboard. So in the last 1 year, there has been a big transition in terms of the entire regulation, monitoring, onboarding for merchants for digital payments. And you can understand there is so much of focus from the PMO, the Ministry of Home Affairs, the LEAs, the regulator, on the cyber digital frauds which are happening. So that is where we have been, not only we, largely every bank has slowed down this business just to have a better check and control in terms of the onboarding and the monitoring of transactions. So we believe that this kind of, while we were expecting that this number would be better from September, if you see, I mentioned also the number of merchants have gone up. We should continue to see growth on this business. But a large part of it depends on the directions which we get from the LEAs, the I4C and the regulator. So while business opportunity is there, and from a technology and other points, we are all geared up to do double, triple the numbers which we have done in this quarter. But because of the heightened scrutiny which is there and the direction which we have from the regulator, we have kept it benign on this as of now. We'll have to see how the environment changes, and accordingly we'll have to take a call on it. So it's more of a cautious approach which we mentioned. But to counter this, what we have also started to do, there have been recent guidelines which have come from RBI as recent as in November 25, which talks about onboarding of PAPG platforms. So as I mentioned also, we are now pushing more on PAPG platforms or PAPG companies. But the revenue margins in that is very low compared to a program manager kind of a platform. So it's a calibrated approach, which Ketan also mentioned.
Right. Thank you for this answer. Rishi, just next question. On the higher base of your CASA, till 2030, I'm assuming you have projected a 30% CAGR of CASA growth. Do you think it's possible at 1.7%? Because then now all the banks are also coming down. I understand that you have a unique proposition. But then at on a higher base, growing at 30% CASA, because your whole thesis of low funding depends on your CASA growth of 30%, right?
It's a very valid question. In fact, we debated quite a bit internally on this point. See, what the kind of customers which continue to get in a payments bank are largely transactional. People who open bank accounts with us for transaction purposes. So they are nearly not looking at what is the rate of interest they are getting on a savings bank account. So they keep about 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 rupees of deposit. People who have higher deposits definitely look at a higher rate of interest. So the model in which we are building it, up to 1 lakh of rupees, we will keep the same rate of interest which is there currently. Above 1 lakh of rupees, which means we move up from this customer segment to a higher customer segment, which may not be running into lakhs, like we had about 30, 35 lakh customers a year, will be not of that level, will be a much lower level, will be people who will keep more than 1 lakh rupees of balance. So the moment they keep more than 1 lakh, I can offer them a FD kind of a saving bank account. So I don't need to change my current less than 1 lakh rupees rate of interest. I hope it kind of explains the strategy which we are working on.
Right. And
is it clear or is it...
Yeah, I understood. Basically, our average deposit per customer has to go up going forward. That's the main thing.
If you look at the build-up also in the slide number 15,
correct.
The first 63 7,300 crores comes from the payments bank current ecosystem or around that. The balance comes at 6.6%. So the 6.6% is a mix of deposits of more than 1 lakh rupees, FDs, some wholesale deposits, all of that put together.
And Rishi, on the lending front, you mentioned that 90% you want to grow secured. But we have done some pilots, but what's the feedback on those pilots? And can you just elaborate by FY28, the first year, how do you want to ramp it up to 10,000 by FY2030?
See, we have done pilots, so two, three things which we are working on. One is our gold loan numbers. So total numbers is roughly about 350 crores. So we did about 350 crores of disbursements in quarter three, which is our highest disbursement on referral product till date, of which I would say 95% or so would be gold loan. Around 5 to 7%, which we have built up a team of about 30 people working in some states in the country, where they are building up a affordable housing lab kind of a product. So they could reach a disbursement from 0 to 8 crores in 3 to 4 months. I think we did about 8 crores or so of disbursements in December of quarter 3. So both the pilots, I would say, both on the gold loan, which has been there, where we total we have reached 350 crores, I think it's going very well. So on average, you can say affordable housing lab employee is able to generate 30 lakh rupees of new leads, which is converted into disbursements per month, which to my understanding is a healthy growth as such.
Fair enough, Rishi. Great. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Franklin Morris from Reliance General Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So currently we have a subscription-based CASA model. So will we continue to have that model post the SFB as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing changes.
Okay. And in terms of the LCR estimate, so basically, there is a higher runoff rate for CASA account vis-a-vis a term deposit. And also the fact that if it is digitally acquired, there is a higher runoff. So LCR to that extent, tends to come lower. So considering the fact that we will have a high proportion of both these in our overall liability mix, what is the kind of LCR that we have pegged in our estimate?
So thanks. This is a fair question. What we need to be cognizant and comes back to the slide number 15. We are running a current model where our, whilst we only have CASA and our core book of CASA, which is a non-volatile CASA, is to the extent of around 90% plus. So what you essentially said, the volatility which can impact CR is more attributable to a different segment. For us, and as Rishi said earlier to Dhruv's question, we are continuing our current model of acquisition of the subscription base, etc. So we do not expect that kind of volatility coming across. This would be relatively higher core percentage of CASA is what we are looking at. And that is not out of the blue. That is the demographics of our current customer, which we will continue doing.
But any LCR number that we
have? No, we have not projected that currently the way it is there. But I just explained you the logic of how it will be core.
Okay. And finally, just to understand, like in the interim, our cost to income ratio would tend to increase before it starts moderating as we go forward, right? So right now, it's like our cost to income ratio is about 94%. So I just wanted to understand what's the trajectory of this cost to income ratio maybe in the next 3 to 4 years.
So again, this comes back someone, perhaps Majid also had a similar point earlier as well. Maybe that was pertaining to how it, the cost is going for next year, and I had explained that off. If you see our, and Rishi mentioned in his commentary as well, that if our cost of funds is around 3.9% and our margin is around 10%, we are not going to go via a branch model, or we will have limited and selective branches coming across. So we do not expect an abnormally high OpEx coming on account of SFB. How do we draw out a model in terms of profitability for 3 to 4 years? Currently, as I said, we've put margins, we've put assets, we've put liabilities. We've also corroborated the incremental CapEx, which is essentially coming across. So that's where it will come through.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue again. We have the next question from the line of Manish Srivastava from Infinity Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Manish.
Hello. Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't want to be that loud. Thanks a lot for the call. I just wanted to understand, like, it seems to be a very tight market for people, and so how are we shaping up in terms of hiring plan for the small plan, the massive needs for how is the market looking like?
Manish, earlier you were extra loud and clear, and now you are
But
not
I understood
clear.
Your question. You're basically asking in terms of how is the hiring going on, and look, see, fortunately for us, that we are sitting in Mumbai, which is the financial hub of the country, where most of the banks, NBFCs, fintechs are there, and so there is enough and more people who are in the same city, so we don't have challenge of getting people from a different city. Secondly, because we are building up this business from ground zero on the asset side, there are a lot of interest which we are getting from relatively experienced people who want to be part of this journey of building up a bank, where they see that overall contribution to, or overall contribution from their side will be enormously much bigger and very different to look at it. So right now, the key roles which we are looking at, most of them we have already done multiple interviews. There is already a shortlist of employees which is there. So over the next 1 to 2 months, we plan to close the top level of hiring, and then the hiring will actually go down as they keep on joining. So the challenge on hiring, I don't see there is much on that side. Obviously, we have to build up a cohesive team where the culture of the DNA of the company is maintained and grow with the new people. So that part we are also working parallelly. So from a project implementation point of view, I think a lot of work has started to happen, and we see that momentum getting built over the next 60 days as we go into the journey.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, Rishi and Ketan, and best wishes for everything.
Thank you, Manish.
A reminder to all the participants, due to time constraint, we will restrict to one question per participant. We have the next question from the line of Harsh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so I just wanted to understand. So you mentioned majority of our lending will also happen through our merchants, right? I just wanted to understand how that model shapes up. Like, how do you plan to implement checks and balances when you're lending through merchants?
So, great question. It will require a lot of time for me to explain, but I will just give you a high-level thing. Probably we can meet and then we can discuss this in detail. So largely what will happen is that we have a large merchant ecosystem across the country. These are merchants who are sitting in those local shopping areas and local plazas which are there in any semi-urban, rural or metros or around the towns which are there. These are people who are well connected in the ecosystem, and these are people who are aware of what is the economic activity happening around them in that geography. So they will be able to generate leads for us. Once the lead will come, the lead will go through, and we are also, as I mentioned in my last call, we are also using a lot of AI. And fortunately for us, as we move into more much deeper technology, the AI will definitely benefit us. We have in fact shortlisted about 8 to 9 partners already on the AI integrations which we have to do, starting from getting the basic information, the photograph, the personal discussion, and a lot of other activities from that. So a lot of that part we expect the merchant will be able to do, where there is like an idiot-proof kind of a ecosystem. Once that is done, it will go to our asset centers, which will be positioned in a kind of a hub model. And from there, whatever physical verification or anything will be required to be done, will be done by our own staff. And obviously, there will be lawyers and legal counsels who will help on the validation, verification specifically on the housing kind of loan structure. So lead generation, collection of the basic information, decisioning and everything will be at the hub level and the central office level. Obviously, we'll have to make some rules engines on which the entire ecosystem will work. But the large part of the leads we expect to get generated through our merchant ecosystem and fulfillment through our asset centers and through that ecosystem. I hope it clarifies at a high level. Obviously, this is a much deeper process flow and everything, which will require a lot of time.
Yeah, yeah. Understood. Thank you for that. And just a small clarification. So in terms of our referral loans, right, there is no, we are not taking any.
No, if I get your question, no, we are not taking any credit risk. As a payments bank, we can't take any credit risk. We refer it to the relevant partners and then they take the credit risk. Gold is a very operational kind of a model. I think affordable loans and LAP are more where they have to take a much more informed decision.
And will this referral business continue as we transition?
Already interrupt in between, Harsh. I would request you to rejoin the queue again as there are participants in the queue.
Sure.
Thank you, Harsh.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rupesh Utwani from Nayanimwala Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the SFB Bank license. I just had one small question on the CASA-related renewal income. Now, you said that there's an increase in the renewal income on a year-on-year basis. But if I look at it on a quarter-on-quarter basis, it has come down by somewhere around 8%. So is there a specific reason behind that or something, if you could explain?
Hi. Yes, your observation is right. Typically, renewal income is like an annuity income, which is building and helping us, and we've quoted a YOY percentage for 3 months, for the quarter as well as 9 months. To address your point, I think our Q2 revenue was 62 crores, which has come down to 57 crores. That is largely attributable to the DBT-related aspects, direct benefit transfer. So when the direct benefit transfer, which came essentially from the government, had reduced significantly from quarter two to quarter three, and that's the trend which is showing across as well.
Okay, sir, great. And just one last question, if I may squeeze in. Will we be focusing on any particular demographic for the loan book, or is it something that you haven't yet decided?
Largely we have looked at north to west and one or two states in south to start with.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Nayan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that will be the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you, Rashi, for the conference. So this quarter has been a remarkable quarter, I would say, from a long-term transition point of view of the bank. We achieved two significant milestones, one on the SFB, second on the technology, which sets us apart compared to any other payments bank and other SFB in the same domain. Our SFB, as we explained, and a lot of it is there in the presentation, we would encourage, if there are more questions, please, we'll be more than happy to answer that on one-to-one basis to explain the entire thinking of our business model on the SFB side. On technology, we have migrated to the new platform, and we are expecting that the benefits of migration to a new next generation platform will start coming in from the next quarter onwards as we move into this in a more stable and complete our other pending jobs on the entire platform as such. So lot of activities have happened. There has been a slight drop as we saw in our business and the profitability. There is a one-off item on the labor costs also, which also affected our bottom line. But in the long-term point of view, we expect that with this big two transitions which we are now done with, this will take us to a different level in the next 1 or 2 years. And we continue to remain focused on what we want to build over the next 12 to 18 months. And hopefully we'll build up a very differentiated bank according to the things which we are contemplated and we are building on it. And we continue to look forward to your continued support. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Fino Payments Bank and Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining with us today and you may now disconnect your lines.